بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. حضرت والا حضرت مولانا شاہ کی محمد اختر صاحب نور اللہ مرقدہ و مزعہ کا کلام ہے فیضان مدینہ ہے یہ فیضان مدینہ. ساحل سے لگے گا کبھی میرا بھی سفینہ, ساحل سے لگے گا کبھی میرا بھی سفینہ, دیکھیں گے کبھی شوق مکہ و مدینہ. حاجیوں کا جمعہ غفیر مکہ شریف میں مدینہ شریف میں موجود ہے, سوچتے ہیں کہ ہم نہیں ہیں وہاں, ہم نہیں ہیں, تو اس پہ غور فرمائیے. ساحل سے لگے گا کبھی ہم بھی کبھی جائیں گے میرا بھی سفینہ, دیکھیں گے کبھی شوق سے کیا مکہ و مدینہ, مومن جو فدا نقش کفِ پائے نبی ہو, ہو زیر قدم آج بھی عالم کا خزینہ, گر سنت نبوی کی کرے پیروی امت, طوفان سے نکل جائے گا پھر اس کا سفینہ. یہ دولت ایمان جو ملی سارے جہاں کو, یہ دولت ایمان جو ملی سارے جہاں کو, کیسے ملی؟ فیضان مدینہ ہے یہ, فیضان مدینہ, فیضان مدینہ ہے یہ, فیضان مدینہ. جو قلب پریشان تھا صدا رنج و الم سے, فیضان نبوت سے ملا اس کو سکینہ. جو درد محبت کا ودی عطا تھا ازل سے, مومن پہ ہوا کشف و مدفون خزینہ. اے خط میں رسول کتنے بشر آپ کے صدقے, اے خط میں رسول کتنے بشر آپ کے صدقے,
ہر سر سے ہوئے پاک بنے مثل نگینا خالی جو تھا انوار محبت کی رمق سے ایک آگ کا دریا سا لگے ہیں وہی سینہ صدقے میں تیرے ہو گیا وہ رہبر امت جو کفر کی ظلمت سے تھا ایک عبد کمینہ اے صلی علی آپ کا فیضان رسالت اے صلی علی آپ کا فیضان رسالت جو مثل حجر تھا وہ ہوا رس کے نگینہ جو مثل حجر تھا وہ ہوا رس کے نگینہ جو ڈوبنے والا تھا ضلع لت کے بھون میں اب رہبر امت ہے وہ گمراہ سفینہ جو کفر کی ظلمات سے تھا ننگے خلائق ہے نور ولایت سے منور وہی سینہ اختر کی زباں اور سر سے نعت محمد
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
اختر کی زباں اور سر سے نعت محمد اللہ کا احسان ہے بے خون و فس پسینہ اللہ کا احسان ہے بے خون و پسینہ ساحل سے لگے گا کبھی میرا بھی سفینہ دیکھیں گے کبھی شوق سے مکہ و مدینہ
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم احمد و نصلی علی رسول کریم اما بعد Beautiful poem for Dada Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Sheikh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, reminding us about Medina Munawwara and the desire every person will have. Now people have gone to Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara. Some of our Buzrugs have mentioned that when this thought comes in a person's mind, then people have gone to Makkah Mukarramah, they come and meet you, I'm going now. And this thought comes in a person's heart, that feeling that yeah, this person has gone, I wish I can also go. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, through His fadl and karam, will also grant a person a reward. Because once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, many people we have gone in jihad, but they stayed behind. Illa wa hum ma'ana. But they are together with us in reward. Habasahum al-uzr. Certain reasons they could not come with us, but they had that desire to go. So inshallah, we also have the desire to go and see other people. And there's nothing far from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah also grants us some of the reward. And they say that some people don't have that ability within themselves. So in these 10 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us some mushabahat, some similarity with the hajis. That those who are making qurbani, they should not cut their nails, they should not remove their mustah, their hair from their body. So they are in a form of ihram. So we think, oh Allah, we are not with those people, but we are trying to make some mushabah, some similarity with them. Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. So it's similar to them, inshallah Allah will regard us among those people. So whenever we hear someone going, we should always make dua within ourselves. Oh Allah, also take us to these mubarak places. Comes in a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Person is in a certain place, he doesn't like to be there. People are doing wrong. And Allah won't regard him among those people. On the other hand, he's in a good place, in another place, and he hears of some people in a wrong place and they are doing wrong actions. And he desires, I wish I also was there. But for certain reasons, he couldn't go there. And he will also get the same guna and sin like those people. So people who are in good places, we have got the desire, inshallah, there is nothing far from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, that he will also regard us amongst those people. So Hazrat says that when will my boat also go to, my ship will also go to the shores of Makkah, Mukarramah and Medina, Munawwara, and I can see it with great shock and the desire and feeling. Thereafter Hazrat says, the believer who sacrifices his life for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even today, the treasures of the whole world will come under his feet. It only in following the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, connection of Allah ta'ala will be built up. And when the believers have got a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then 10,000 against 100,000 people, it becomes very, very easy. It's how the Sahaba conquered the countries upon countries. They were small in number, but they had a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The whole world's treasures came beneath their feet. And if today we follow the same path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give victory to the Muslims. As Hazrat Ali rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, that the medication we are taking is actually poison. He says the more medication we are taking, more the reformers of Syria are giving the medication, they are giving wrong medication. So the sickness is only increasing. So how can a person come on the right path? And Hazrat Ali rahmatullah alayhi wrote the kitab, Hayatul Muslimin, and he said, I've got great hope in the mercy of Allah that from all my kitabs, Allah will give me najat on this kitab here. That this is the solution to all the Muslims' problems. When we become true Muslims, and he mentioned 30 usools and principles there, we follow these principles, then Imam al-Din will come into our lives. He say when the Muslim ummah will follow this, this is our success. This is how the Muslims will get success in the world. So this is the following the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat says, if the ummah will follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the ship will come out from the tufan and all the problems we are going through. And this is on a international level also. It's also in an individual level of a person's life. In our own lives, if we follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we ourselves will come out from all our problems and depression and worries, etc. And on an international level, on a local level, if people will follow it, then locally or internationally, we will come out of our problems. So this is the actual tariqah, the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we had mentioned last night also, that normally we confine the sunnah to a few certain amals. But it's not just a few certain amals, it's our whole lifestyle. Every part of our life, our heart also, our akhlaq, our character, our mu'amalat, our mu'asharat, our business dealings, our ibadat, every aspect of our life, we have to bring it on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we will come out of our problems and difficulties. The Hazrat says that this iman, this treasure of iman which the whole world has got, it is only through the barakat and blessings of Madina Munawwara. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who is lying there, till today, whatever iman we have got is because of our connection with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we've heard our buzrugs mentioning, and Shaykh Abdullah Aziz Dabbagh rahmatullah alayhi used to say that every single person has got a connection with Madina Sharif, with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These lines, we cannot see it, but our iman is connected to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the more we will read Durood Sharif, the line becomes stronger, the connection becomes stronger. So till today also, whatever iman we have got is through the barakat and blessings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat says then, that person whose heart is parashan and worried, and he's got a lot of problems, but by the faizan of Nabuwat, by the barakat and blessings of Nabuwat, this person's heart will get sakina, peace of mind. He will get contentment of heart when he will follow the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that person who was completely, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah ta'ala from the beginning of time had placed it in the heart of every single person. Ulama say, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifested himself to us in alami alas, when we were not in existence, then we were small, we were created, just our ruh. We came before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah exposed himself. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was placed in the heart and the soul of every single person, but it's hidden there. within every single person. And we have come in this world to expose and to manifest the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person who will follow the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah will open up to that person this khazina, this hidden treasure which is in the heart of a person. So every single person has got it. So much so the Mufassirin say, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. One punishment on the day of Qiyamah is people will be deprived of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kuffar. So they say this is a proof that every single person has got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you never have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't mind not seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you'll be deprived of it. It shows that you, even a kuffar on the day of Qiyamah will desire to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they will be deprived of seeing it. So this is a clear proof that every person in his heart, he's got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only we have to take it out now and make it manifest. And this will come by following the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat says, oh, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final Nabi, how many people, human beings, through your barakat and blessings, they were saved from every kind and they became pure from every kind of evil. And they became like a stone, a diamond, something of great, great value by following your lifestyle. Today we see Hajj, 5 million Muslims. And in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a few people, 1-2 people. But what Allah's power had kept in there. And these are 5 million Muslims. But throughout the world, how many Muslims there are. And this was all through the barakat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the more stronger we hold on to his lifestyle, the more pure we will become. The life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a life of purity. We will become like that diamond, like that valuable stone. That person with heart, Khali Jota, Anwar Muhabbat ki ramak se, who had no love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the light of Muhabbat, the same heart now, a whole ocean of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is filled up in this person's heart. Why? Because now this person has followed the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it was completely devoid of it, when he started following that path, that lifestyle, now it comes filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nazir says that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through your sadaqah and blessings, that one kamina servant, one useless slave, who was completely drowned in darkness of kufr, today he becomes the guide of the ummah. And the first example of this was the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. What kufr and what lifestyle they followed. But when they followed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through your sadaqah, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through your blessings, they became the guides of the ummah. Till the day of Qiyamah, people will follow them. And throughout the centuries, Allah's system is such that you find so many people who are the worst people, but they became the great awliya Allah, the great friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They made the sincere tawbah. And even many kuffar and disbelievers, amongst our elders of Jehovah, there were certain ulama who were kafir, they were disbelievers, and they accepted Islam. And then they helped very, very greatly in the madaris also, and to save India. I cannot even remember some of the names, but there one person especially, he was a non-Muslim, he accepted Islam, Mawlana Ubaidullah Sindhi rahmatullah alayh. And his mother used to give bayans. Thousands of people used to come and make tawbah, change their lives. And his mother was a Hindu, she used to come and hit him on his back. And he used to just make sabr. And he used to tell all the people that through the barakat and blessings of making sabr of my mother, today Allah has made thousands and thousands of people come and change their lives. But he was a non-Muslim person. But he accepted Islam and he became a guide of the ummah. Esalli ala aqki fezani risalat. Jo mitle hajar ta wa huwa rashke nagina. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah ta'ala special mercies and rahmat come upon you. Because those people who were like stone, hard, dead, they became the envy of the stones also. The diamonds and the pearls, they became the envy of them. Those people were completely useless. But when will this be? When a person will follow the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person was drowning in misguidance, completely drowning in that. Today this person has become a guide of the ummah, of that ships which are going off, completely off the path. This person, he himself was drowning before. But today he has become now the captain of that ship, and he is saving so many people from the gumrahi and misguidance. As it says, that person who, nange khalai, he was a disgrace and embarrassment because of he was engaged in darkness of kufr and disbelief or in sin. That same heart of that person now, it has become full of the nur of wilayat, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this actually will come with staying in the sohbat of the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and following the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The more a person will do this, inshallah, all his darkness will come off from a person. The person will get closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then other people will see him, they will follow him, and he'll become a guide and means of hidayat for thousands and millions of people in the world. Then the after Hazrat ends of the poem saying, Ki akhtar ki zuban aur sharf-e naat-e Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ka ihsan hai be khoon pasina. Then Hazrat says, from my tongue, and the honor of the na'at in the poems of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just uttering the word of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the actual demand, Hazrat Ali rahmatullah says regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says the demand was, we're supposed to have purified our mouth before taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's Allah's great mercy that without wudu also we are allowed to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually when we take the name of Allah ta'ala, our mouths become pure. Our hearts become pure. This is the great kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's saying in his dunya, when you get a big king, he got so many titles behind his name. Allah ta'ala says, my name is Allah. It's Allah, so easy, 3 letters, 4 letters. Allah didn't put this and that and so many different titles. Every time you want to say the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it takes us 1 week to memorize all the different titles. So easy to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not fit, we are not worthy. So Hazrat says, I'm not worthy also to take the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ihsan upon us, without us making any effort in the least bit, which is we call the fadl and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, two special bounties and ni'mat, which Allah mentions in the Quran, بَلِلَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. Allah has made ihsan upon you. It's only Allah's kindness that Allah gave you hidayah to iman. You are not worthy of it, but Allah gave it to you. And the other one is, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْهُمْ. Allah has made great ihsan upon the believers when Allah Ta'ala sent a Rasul amongst them. So without our being worthy of it in the least, but Allah is Kareem, who gives without istihqaq, without us being worthy of it, Allah has given us the tawfiq just to speak about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the great kindness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq. A lot of times a person gives bayan, for example, and he thinks, mashallah, what a bayan I gave today. I spoke about this hadith, I gave this ayat of Quran, this tafsir. But actually, we are not fit to and worthy of doing it. It is only Allah's ihsan upon us that He is allowing us to use the words, to utter the words of deen, of conveying the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself and all of us true understanding.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wassalamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Alhamdulillahi munshir al-khalq min adami. ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم يا رب صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم روحي الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر وقال تبارك وتعالى لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم وقال تعالى إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة صدق الله المولانا العظيم. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the knowledge of all the sunnah and we make some effort to acquiring more sunnah in our lives. And may Allah ta'ala give us the love of every sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us the tawfiq to practice upon every sunnah and to propagate every sunnah also. So one great sunnah of Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related to these days is that we should not, those who are making qurbani, we should not cut our nails, remove any hair from the body, and this is really a minor ihram. Reminder for us also of ihram, of the people who are in Hajj. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala put our hearts also where in Mecca Sharif now, where the number of people who are making tawaf, the haram is full, the basement, the ground floor, the first floor, the upper floor, right, everywhere it is full. Madinatul Munawwara, the people from around the world have come and reading Salatu Salam. What a great honor of Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And all this, Kaaba Sharif, all that, were the great sacrifices of Ibrahim Alayhi Salatu Wasallam. Makkah Sharif, Madinatul Munawwara, the great, great sacrifices of Rasul Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So from that may we also learn that this Qurbani, which we call a sacrifice, but the reality of sacrifice come into us. One basic reality is that sincerity comes into us. We make the intention only for the pleasure of Allah, and we do it sincerely only for the pleasure of Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala. Another great sunnah also of these days, which ulama have written, is this sunnah of not cutting the nails, etc. during these days. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali says is also among sunnah, the sunnahs which have been left out by the ummah. So to revive such a sunnah, there is great, great reward. And when a person doesn't take his nails, for example, as a hair for more than 10 days, perhaps whatever he's thirsty, maybe for 2 weeks, he feels very awkward with the long nails. But for the sake of Allah, how happy doesn't Allah Ta'ala become? And the other sunnah which is also left out is during these days to call out the takbir, Allahu Akbar. Whether we say it softly or whether we say it loudly, we should try and say it loudly also. There is also a great sunnah which Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu should go to the shopping places, shops of Medina Sharif, and they should call out the takbir loudly. And Allah loves this very greatly. And as it we have heard many times, and this is all mudhakara, so that we can be reminded over and over, and the reality of this can come into us. So that during these, Allah loves to be worshipped, the most Allah loves to be worshipped in the whole year is during these days. And then one is the takbir to call it out. Allah loves it to be called out. The third kalima to call out. Allah loves that also very, very greatly. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we engage ourselves. These days are going, 7 days are gone already. We are just left with 1 or 2 days or so of these great valuable days. And of course the climax of it is Eid al-Adha, the 10th, which will be for us this year, here in South Africa, on Wednesday, Yawm al-Arbi'a. So may Allah give us tawfiq as much as we can by reading the third kalima, reading takbir. And then on the 9th, which will be our Tuesday, Yawmul Ithnain this year, to read the fourth kalima as much as possible. And also takbir to read it as much as possible. These things have got great, great value. So anyway, Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala has taken qasam on the time of Fajr, which shows, and Allah only takes qasam, mufassirin have written, of the great, great creations of Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala. We as the creation of Allah, makhluq of Allah, we are not allowed to take qasam of anything else or anyone else besides Allah ta'ala. But Allah, He takes qasams of His great creation, which shows that whatever Allah ta'ala is taking qasam on is something very, very great. And the time of Fajr is an abstract thing. It is not a solid thing. But on that time, Allah is taking qasam. So the details of it, let us think for it of it ourselves. The time of Fajr and that Mubarak time, that am I up at that time or am I still careless that some days I don't worry, I'm just sleeping through that time. Or am I making sure that I'm up at the time of Fajr? My family, are they up? Or are they also just sleeping through? And perhaps the cause of sleeping through Fajr is another haram. Perhaps the TV, perhaps the cell phone, perhaps just idle talk and gossip, or attending some place where we should never have been thinking of being there. And because of that now, late night and we can't get up for Fajr. How sad. Allah is taking qasam of that blessed time and of the Fajr namaz, and we are careless. And those who get the tawfiq of getting up, maybe sometimes you oversleep, but always, alhamdulillah, by Allah's fazal, who gets tawfiq, make qadr of it, that of that time. And there are a lot of other details of the great barakat and virtues and anwarat, the nur of the time of fajr. Then Allah Ta'ala has taken qasam, walayalin ashr, the 10 nights. These are, Mufassirin generally have referred to these first 10 days of Zulhijjah. So this also shows the great value of this time which we are presently in now. That Allah has taken qasam of these times, and these times are extremely valuable by Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala has taken qasam of it is enough to prove how great these times are. So Allah has blessed us, we have got health, we have got our time, we are generally, our minds are free, we can make our ibadat, namaz times, we can go to the masjid, all this we can do. We must make lot of shukr to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It is narrated also in a hadith that a person who makes ibadat on 5 nights, then his heart won't die when other hearts are dead. And other virtues also for those people who keep awake during these nights. Amongst them was the 15th of Sha'ban, which has passed already for us for this year. And Allah Ta'ala may accept at least what our Isha and Fajr were Jamaat. That night was passed in Ibadat. We all must make effort for during, moreover during these times. Then the other night was the night of Eid, which has also passed, the night of Eid al-Fitr, Ramadan Eid. That night also, hopefully, we pass the night in Ibadat, in at least in that level that we made our Isha with Jamaat, we made our Fajr with Jamaat, and for that it comes in the Hadith, a person gets the reward of the whole night's Ibadat. And whoever engaged more, in whichever way, what to say of those people. And then again, also, that our Isha with Jamaat and Fajr with Jamaat, that also we should think, one is we made it with Jamaat, just before the Imam said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We got Jamaat. And one is that when the Imam said, Allahu Akbar, and we got Jamaat. What the difference between the two? And in that also we must make effort. And according to that also will be that whole night's ibadat. Now the quality of that Fajr and Isha, and the quality of how we made that Fajr, the whole night's ibadat will be according to that also. One is a person just made it before the Imam made salam. Fajr also just before the Imam made salam. He got Jamaat. Fuqaha, Muftiyan will say, yes, he got Jamaat. And one is that when the Imam said Allahu Akbar. What a difference between the two. Before the Isha, the 4 sunnat ghair muakkada, a person who made and great virtues for those sunnats also. And of course, the 2 sunnats before Fajr. And that also we do it. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, riwayat come that amongst 4 things he never gave up in his life were the 2 sunnats before Fajr. And in the Sharia, the great, great value and emphasis that have been put on the 2 sunnats of before Fajr. They are sunnat, sunnate muakkada, but the, of all the sunnats, these 2 sunnats, great, great emphasis have been put on them. So we read them also. Then our namaz also see that how much were we engaged with Allah Ta'ala in namaz. According to that also will be that whole night's ibadat. Whether our namaz was, we were in namaz, but we were out of the masjid. Our body, we came and parked the car here, yeah? So we showed our presence in the car park, so to say, we parked our car, but we ourselves went somewhere else. We didn't come to the masjid. So wife also asked, mother, father asked, you went for namaz, ask everyone, my car was there. Your car was parked there, but were you there? So in the same way, we park our bodies in the masjid, but we ourselves, we go off on a spring. And where we go, Allahu Akbar, we travel where and where. In the past we travel. In the present, way around in the world we travel. So that also requires effort. So according to that, a person's namaz who is according to that, then that night's ibadat also is according to that. So Allah give us tawfiq for that also, that we make our one object of our life, that I must become what is called a namazi. A namazi which Allah Ta'ala will say, you are a namazi.
And we are far only without the help of Allah. It's impossible for us to achieve. We have to just beg of Allah Ta'ala for His great mercy. And Allah make us a musalli. Make us a namazi, which is called a namazi. We are regular 5 times, not small, one sneeze. Oh, I'm sick now. I have to stay in bed now. Or a little bit, my foot a little, I've got a little limp, I can't go. Allahu Akbar. Presently now, Hafiz in Brits, Hafiz Nana. He's an old man, past 90. And he's got Parkinson, but all his namazes with Jamaat. And standing. Nafil namaz also standing. What is this? Is we seeing with our eyes here now. Manar Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, from where he stayed, we call it a house, we'll say a house. But what? It's just hardly, just a little place to stay. They didn't what we call house. It was out of their thoughts that a house is what we call a house. Just a little place where you can pass your time, your necessities you fulfill. From there to the masjid, which was right next door to his house, very short, very short distance from out of one door into another door. But in that also, he had an old age. He became so weak, he had to sit down a few times. He couldn't reach the masjid properly. And that also that his namazes, stand and make them. And when somebody asked him, he said, I feel shy to sit in front of Allah. Like we also sometimes, we're sitting and some great buzur comes in, we want to jump. How can I sit when there's such a great buzur in front of Allah Ta'ala? Allah forgive us. We haven't got that thought in our mind. We without anything, we just sit down. Hey, these people, what thoughts they had of Allah Ta'ala? So namaz, Allah make us what are called namazi. So those 2 nights have passed already, the 15th of Sha'ban and the night of Eid. Now the balance 3 nights Allah has given us in a row. And they are right here now with us. Let us appreciate them. The night of Tarwiyah, that is tonight, the 8th of Zulhijjah. For us it is tonight. For the people in Makkah Sharif it was last night already, but for us it is tonight. So this night, tomorrow night, which is the night of Arafat. That is also a great, great night. And then the Laylatul Nahar, the next night, which is the day before Eid day. So these 3 nights are also extremely valuable. A person who makes ibadat during these 3 nights, his heart won't die when other hearts will be dead. And there are other virtues also for those who make ibadat. Again, it is very simple for us, our Isha, our Fajr wa Jamaat. And make at least this time the effort, our family members also, the males, that they come to the masjid. And we make our namaz. And then all on those lines, that from the takbir e-ula, the sunnats before the namaz, make them also properly. And after fajr sunnats, there are duas also to be read before fajr. And very valuable and very important and duas which we cannot do without. Allahumma ij'alli nuran fi qalbi wa fi qabri. All the details of that. Allahumma rabba Jibreel wa Mikaila wa Israfil wa Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ajirni minan naar. To get safe from the fire. How much aren't we in need of it? And these duas have been taught. So anyway, we try during these days that we try and observe this properly. And this, the ibadat of these nights, we do them properly. What is also of great merit and important, that the hearts won't die when the hearts of other people are dead. One explanation, Hadrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, is given from the ulama, is that when fitna will have come so much of fitna, that the people's hearts will die. That we won't even and in one lengthy hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what will be your condition at that time when sins will be committed openly? The people said, will that happen? What will be your condition at that time when people will command sinning and forbid doing good? They said, will that happen? What will be your condition at that time when people will regard sin to be ibadah and will regard ibadah to be sin? And perhaps we are living in that time already. When how many wrong things, wrong beliefs are being promoted. And they are being supported left, right and center. When the wrong beliefs are promoted like that, we are living in such times. When today, a youngster and even grown-ups, we can't live without the cell phone. And on the cell phone, if it is for work, if it is for good things, there are a lot of good things also a person can do on the cell phone. But if it is for the haram and a person can't live, so much so that young boys don't want to go to school because they are addicted to the phone. They don't want to do their basic chores because they are addicted to the phone. At such a time, with the times that we are living, so a person who will stay awake in ibadah during these days, he will be able to see his road clearly. He will be able to make out today, all of us, confused. The public is confused. Everyone is confused. What is right? What is wrong? And the solution, we are confused in the, not confused, we are gone astray in the solution also. Whatever wrong we are finding ourselves in, unfortunately, even we who are so-called ulama, or the so-called pious and righteous also, we don't see our solution in amal. We are looking at material things. We are looking at outside things, at the things of this dunya for our solution. Whereas the clear problem is our sins. مَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. What we are doing, but we don't see that. If we do see that our a'mal are wrong, not my a'mal, the other, what the people are doing, what the ummah is involved in, I am all right. And whereas the righteous and the pious, so many instances we find that they regarded themselves as the worst sinners. The most pious people regarded themselves as the biggest sinners of the time. But today we feel that we are all right. We have to make effort on the other people. Wherever there are problems, we have to send a jamaat there. The people there, very bad conditions there. Or that we have to go and make effort in that place. The ulama get together, we are worried about that. That is, we have to. That is our duty. But it's the starting point, the focal point is we ourselves. We don't think about ourselves. And if everyone, as a beautiful example has been given, that every person is a whole world of his own. He's got so many, a person like one country of its own, or the world of its on its own. Every person is like that. Like in a country, we have 10 provinces, 20 provinces, different states, or whatever we call them. We have the province of the eyes, the brains, the tongue, the hands, all different provinces. And you yourself, you are the president, you are the prime minister of this whole country, without any election also. You have been made the amir, the president. And lifelong, you don't have to fight elections also. Lifelong, you are the president of this. And you've got no opposition in your government also. You can enforce the laws, and you can make the laws, and you can enforce them. So if every person just enforce the laws of Allah Ta'ala, which they are for the eyes, for the brains, for the tongue, for the ears, for every part of the body, everyone's islah is done already. If everyone, ulama have written so beautifully also, today we find so many organizations, institutions, movements in order for the rectification and the upliftment of the Muslims and to come right. But the result is we are just getting more and more divided and more confused. Now who is right? Is this group right? Is that group right? More. Because everyone wants through his movement, my movement must move. But he's not worried or that it must move within him, that others must move. And until we don't worry ourselves, we can't move forward. So today our hearts are gone so dead that we don't see the solution. And the worst is, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, has written, when the poison is regarded as medicine, and the medicine is regarded as poison, our hearts are so dead that what is what is so evil, so wrong, that is so coveted, so desired by us. One good friend said he had to buy something from a takeaway, so somebody else ordered before him. So he asked him, what did you order? So he said, garbage. So we call it as ourselves garbage, we call it ourselves junk food, but we can't live without it. Until we don't have what is called junk food, we call it garbage. And we just can't live without it. And just one little indication, so many there are. A young boy in America who was becoming hafiz could not just move in his hips. He just couldn't learn. What little he learned, he also forgot. So they took him to an alim and asked him, what is the problem? So he immediately asked, what food does he eat? They said that normal Kentucky, steers, muchachos, whatever all these things are. So he told them, close that food completely. Give him house food, proper good food from the house. They did it a week or two and he was moving. He started learning, he remembered it also, and how many other things with regard to the food. So anyway, when our hearts become dim, so this is an occasion that if we make this little ibadat, and we try and get our youngsters, tell them at least during these days, during these nights, come to the masjid, make your namaz with jamaat, make it with tadbir-e-ula. All the other details of namaz becoming alive, etc., and the real what is called namaz, how much our namaz will become alive, today we don't see our solution in namaz. Allah says clearly, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. That seek help, you've got a problem, seek it in the sabr, and sabr on different occasions, the sabr meaning is different, and in namaz, in dua to Allah Ta'ala, seek Allah's help. But so sad to say today, generally, hopefully it's a wrong observation or a wrong thing that is brought to mind, that when we are discussing problems also, ulama, people in the Darul Ulooms, in the Khanqahs, in Jamaat, etc., any mashuras, we hardly hear the word insha'Allah. And the reprimand of Allah to his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when on one occasion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say insha'Allah. And this is, in essence, what it is, that from inside we will do it. You organize that, you do that, you see to this, you see to that, as if Allah is not needed in the whole. And we will say people who are secularists, people who are atheists, they have minused Allah from the equation. And they have done it by belief that Allah doesn't exist, he doesn't, na'uzubillah, doesn't do anything. But we also, to some extent, we're so greatly guilty of that also. Anything, inshallah, doesn't feature. All these things which seem to be so minor, and we regard it as trivial, but they are so important. Allahu Akbar. We will discuss that, but it came to mind, it must not miss me. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, with regard to when we are slaughtering an animal, with regard to qurbani, any other time also, he says, as soon as you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Bismillahir Allahu Akbar, that name, that is such a chloroform that you have put onto that animal that doesn't even hardly feel the pain. The name of Allah, and why won't it be so? When that incident is so famous also, that when the father was so far away from deen, he passed away, the little child went to Maktab, and the ustad told him, read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As soon as he read, Allah lifted the punishment from his father. Bismillah, ulama have written books and books on the virtues of Bismillah. We get astounded, what is the great virtue and the great blessings of Bismillah? But it's not on our tongue. We don't read Bismillah for anything we do without Bismillah. And Bismillah has got so much of value. So Allah, these are great, great. So this 3 nights, this 3 days, Allah loves his ibadat the most in the whole year during these days. Clearly it comes in the Hadith Sharif that Allah loves his ibadat the most during these days. From which ulama have said that even more than in the month of Ramadan. Then other ulama have said that the nights of Ramadan, the last 10 nights, which are the height of Ramadan, the last ashara, the ashara of itqu minan nar, to be freed from the fire of Jahannam, that those nights are more valuable, yeah, the days are more valuable. So, and in these days, all these ibadats are taking place. The ibadat of Hajj, for all other ibadat that we make, namaz, we have to sacrifice time. Your thoughts and how much you want to make your namaz valuable, you have to put strain on your thoughts. Your thoughts like to run away everywhere. And in order to bring them, like ulama have given an example, a mother walking with her child, and the mother holds the hand of the child, it mustn't get away from the mother. Whether it is in the haram, the child gets lost. Yeah, in shopping centers, the children get lost. Oh, rainy days and puddles of water, and children like to go and splash in the water. So the mother holds the child. But the child all the time wants to take its hand. It doesn't want to be controlled by the mother. So the child wants to just run. How much effort the mother has to make. So our thoughts also don't want to be controlled. They also just want to run free and go everywhere in the world. So if a person makes little effort on his namaz, he will see he is under stress. But we like easy, casual, that we mustn't have any problem in our lives. And the more than bodily stress, if a person does physical work, he gets tired, he gets exhausted. More than that, the brain, when it gets exhausted. And more than that, the heart, when it has to work. As our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explains, the hands and legs, when they work, like the people, like laborers, etc., they get a small wage. But when the heart works, it's like the king is working. And the king's salary is the highest. So in namaz, the king has to work. But we don't want to work. We want to take it easy, comfortable. We have retired. Now we just make our outward forms of namaz. Namaz is made. But when the heart works in namaz, the mind works and you're concentrating. And when you find your mind still went away, you feel guilty. Now, Allah mustn't take my namaz and throw it back at my face. Like a dirty rag. But who of us thinks of that? When we make salam, we're making salam to the malaika. Who of us think of that? We are making salam to them. So if Allah just absorbs us that you made namaz, it's a great fadl of Allah. But those who make namaz and who are musallis. So these now, and these nights here are so valuable. The days are valuable. Now these 3 nights which are from tonight, they are so valuable. And then we are encouraged to read the 3rd kalima. Easy way, Allah give me tawfiq, give us all tawfiq. Just make salah to tasbih. And what Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali said, the minimum of reading a lot of the 3rd kalima is 300 times. If a person reads 300 times 3rd kalima, subhanallah, let us all read, at least it gets done now. Subhanallah, walhamdulillahi, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. So if a person reads it 300 times, then he has read it in abundance. So we must increase. So in Salatul Tasbih it gets done. So read it easily. And Salatul Tasbih takes 15 minutes, 20 minutes to read. And we have read it in abundance. Or people who are busy in work, etc., have to go shop and other duties. After Fajr, read it 100 times. Doesn't take long. After Maghrib or Isha, read it 100 times. The balance of the other 3 namazes, read it 33, 34 times each. You did your 300 without any difficulty. And what great rewards there are for that. And then our takbir also. And then it comes to the climax, this wonderful period on the day of the Eid day, the Yom al-Nahr, the day of Eid. Then it comes to, and the ibadat also comes to the height now. All this ibadat, if it was carrying on, now comes to the day, and during on the day of Eid, the greatest thing that Allah loves on that day, ihratidam. To just let the blood flow, slaughter that, and from there we must learn the lesson that my blood must flow. I must slaughter my heart. That is my desires that I have, all my haram desires. If we can make that, and we do our qurbani, and we do it with that spirit, and there is no doubt. People who bring this deen in their lives, they increase in deen. We might not even notice. Who of us noticed it, that I was a small boy, just lying on the bed, I could do nothing. Today I'm a big man. I'm running 20 businesses. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. We don't realize it. Spiritually also. At one time, that Allah Ta'ala took us out from the wombs of our mothers, لا تعلمون شيئا. We knew nothing. Allah taught us who He is. Allah taught us His ma'rifat, His muhabbat. Allah taught us who is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah taught us what deen is. Allah taught us the great, great ahkamat of deen. Allah gave us and taught us qurbani. And perhaps we were just making qurbani up to now as a rasam, as a ritual. But now with the reality of qurbani, what is it? Our deen is also moving all the time in this way. We might not be noticing it, but the deen is also coming into our lives. So now this ihraq-e-dam, to make the blood flow on the day of Eid, bring that jazba, that desire within us, my blood must flow. For today, our little desires, we see a woman, we can't take away our eyes. We find it impossible. One person wrote to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali that when I see a woman, I've got the ability and strength to cast my eyes on her. But once I'm caught there, I can't take my eyes away. So Hazrat said, this is, you are interpreting the whole thing wrong. Your nafs, your heart is gone dead. So you are interpreting it also wrongly. If you have got the ability to see something, you have got the ability to take away your eyes from those. But you are immature. You have got that, but you don't want to use that ability to take your eyes away from there. And in fact, if your eyes just fall by mistake, and it is a very pretty woman. She appears pretty. Shaitan makes her look pretty. And now your mujahada is more. Now you're getting more reward by taking your eyes away. How kind is not Allah Ta'ala? Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, in times like today's times, and especially if you have to go like to the airports, going to the business malls, you're going to a bank, and all how they are dressed, and especially now with summer going to come, etc. He says that you get worried, but at the same time, you build your iman, and those places then, the very same places, the certificates of Jannah will be given out. Now all you do is don't look. Anadro sahmum min sihami iblis masmum. Eye is a poisonous arrow of shaitan. Man tarakahu makhafati, a person who doesn't see in the fear of Allah Ta'ala, abdaltuhu imanan yajidu halawatahu fi qalbihi. I will change it into such iman that he will find the halawat, the sweetness of iman he will find in his heart. Which ulama have written, once the sweetness of iman enters in the heart, لا يخرج منه أبدا. It doesn't go out, and ever it doesn't go out. So, this is the occasion that we can get there. Now, with the qurbani also, one very important thing, which is necessary for us to refresh. This is all what we are doing is muzakra, reminding ourselves, all these things, hopefully we all know, but a reminder, Allah Ta'ala says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. A reminder is always beneficial. That is, our Islamic way of zabiha, of slaughtering, is the most, it doesn't have to be said, ordained by Allah. Tariqah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a mu'min's iman, there is nothing better than. This is the only way. But today, unfortunately, we are also influenced to the state in that condition that we think other ways are better. The common way of us, we take the knife, we slaughter, that is the, and with the name of Allah, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, we read the dua, Quran Sharif where it is recited. And you are reading now, Inni wajhatu wajhiya. And you are reading, Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya. All that is, it's not going without an influence. It's influencing that animal. It is influencing everyone. Therefore, don't take the adab and etiquette of slaughtering. Allah reward all those people, all the institutions that are promoting all the ways of how to slaughter. Don't sharpen your knife. Don't sharpen it in front of the animal. Don't slaughter one animal in front of another. Don't slaughter animal while another animal is being skinned. All those things, they are not small things. They are very, very relevant. And then when slaughtering, actually all those adab also are extremely important. So our Islamic way of slaughtering is the best way. There is no other way that can come anywhere near it. The other common way in the world is the animal is stunned. Either they shoot a bullet for an ox, etc., and the animal gets stunned. Or they give some electric shock to the chicken, a certain amount, and the animal gets... So this stunning, the difference between the two is very great. Then there are other ways also. There are those ways also other people do. They'll just put the chicken down, take a chopper and just chop the head off. A very brutal way. And such a way, Allah save us, we can't even think of it. But the Sikhs, Maulana Mazhar Sahib, Damat Barakatum explained to us, when they want to slaughter, they don't slaughter, when they want to kill a pig for eating, the animal is dirty, Allah has made it haram, but what do they do? Just Allahu Akbar. They heat an iron rod, make it red hot, and from the back they push it into the animal. Cruelty upon cruelty. What cruelty is in there to the animal? And where our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us that show mercy to the animals. Whatever you have to take life also, take it also in a nice proper way. Everything. So the greatest way is the slaughtering. And what I present, it was made quite common some years ago by a university in Germany. What they tried and put electrodes on the brains of the animals, and they measured the amount of pain the animals go through in the different ways of slaughtering. And they found that the least, almost null, zero pain was with the Islamic way of slaughtering. Though it appears to us, outwardly, it appears completely opposite. You stun an animal, it's like dead, now it's like peace, in peace, etc. In the same way, understand, ulama, Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, has written also, the death of a person, don't see the outside condition. Sometimes a person is in difficulty and he dies. And sometimes we hear about non-Muslims, it comes in the newspapers, he had a peaceful death. He died in his sleep peacefully. That outward conditions are not the reality. That is something else. So anyway, yeah, when the animals, they put the, and we mentioned this when we happened to be in Germany, and they knew thoroughly about it. They said, we know this experiments were done here by us. So they found that when animals are slaughtered, the Islamic way, with the name of Allah, the animal hardly suffers any pain. A little bit of explanation to this is that we are commanded to slaughter the throat, slit the throat. And in that, according to Sharia, four things are to be slaughtered, to be cut. Seven, to be cut off. One is the windpipe, one is the food pipe, and two, blood. The blood? The veins, yeah, the true veins that carry the blood. And at least you must cut three of the four, then the animal is halal. The best, of course, is we must cut all four. And also we must be careful, it is makruh, it is undesired that you put so much force. It happens with chickens. If you are not careful, the whole neck gets cut off. You should not cut the whole throat and the neck. You should not cut the back, the neck. And the explanation comes for that also. Only the throat must be slit and these four things. And try and do it with one swift movement. Not like you are cutting bread up and down, up and down. Don't let an amateur, just like he's slaughtering and he's making the animal suffer. No, a person with a firm hand. And when somebody has learned properly, and you are quite hopeful that he will do it properly, then even a child, even a woman, by all means, they should also slaughter. And why are they also required? There is great effect. A person who makes his own qurbani, and why did Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, be present when your qurbani is being done. And of course, with all the other regulations of parda, etc., it mustn't be their strange man and all that, because it has got a great effect for a person. So anyway, now when you slaughter that, what happens? The blood comes out. Now when you have cut it, yeah, no blood is going to the brain. And the brain needs blood. Every part of the body needs blood. The brain now gives a message to the heart that I need blood. I'm not getting my blood. And how does it give it? All the nerves, practically all the nerves run here, the back, in the neck. So that is why we must not cut the whole head off. Then you are cutting that nerve and that message doesn't go to the heart. When it goes to the heart gives message to all the parts of the body, our king, the brain. He needs his nourishment, he needs his food, all stand. Now that animal starts kicking its legs and wings. We are thinking it's suffering. It's not suffering. It's in the process of helping the king. That we give the blood we have to send. And then they all send that blood. When it comes, it all is coming out here. And the most healthiest animal and the most tastiest meat is that in which all the blood goes out. So now all practically to the last drop, all the, and therefore it is said, don't clean in also still now. Wait till the animal is, till in effect what it did, all the blood is gone out. Now you are eating the most healthiest meat, the most tastiest meat. Many people, ZCC people, many places, white people, Christian, they look for Muslim shops which sell halal. Allah make wherever they put halal, but it is halal. Because they say, we find that to be more healthier and more tastier also. So, anyway, this is what, and with stunning, whether you shoot the animal in the head, or whether that terrible way of passing that red rod into the animal, burning rod, or whether it is by the electric shock, when it is stunned, it gets into a shock. And all the blood remains where it is. No blood goes out. So in that case now, when you are eating that meat, the blood also. And blood is najis also. It is impure also. And now that is a cause people have, they thinking, all the terrible diseases of cancer which we are having. All the other terrible diseases, we are eating that blood there. And the blood hasn't gone out. And after that you slaughter, and a trickle of blood comes out. And most of the blood is in the body. So the best way is our Islamic way. And as Hazrat Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali said, when you take the name of Allah, then how lot of barakat comes on there, and how that animal, in the light of the hadith, especially for qurbani, that animal looks forward to be slaughtered. And when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slaughtered, the animals were coming forward, the camels. They wanted to be slaughtered. Allah give us also that jazba becoming shaheed in the path of Allah. Hey, until today, whether it is in Palestine, whether it is in Syria, or in Afghanistan, one alim recently was here, till now, not 10 years ago, not 20 years ago, now, bombs are falling. And little children are running towards the bomb. Eagerness to become shaheed. That I gave my life for Allah Ta'ala. If we have that jazba, animals, they want to give their lives for Allah. And that animal will come back on the day of Qiyamah with its hooves and its horns also. In other words, completely. Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha in that hadith that witness your animal being slaughtered. It will be brought back to life on the day of Qiyamah. It will be put in your scale of actions, of your good deeds, and it will be multiplied by 70 it will be. And one alim has written a beautiful point here also, the horns of the animal, I don't think anyone really uses it, perhaps if they now use it, today the trend is nothing must go for waste. Everything must be used, I don't know if it is used for anything. And the hoofs, not the trotters. Trotters are very healthy also, very tasty also. Paya, actually we have, etc. Very tasty also, very healthy also. But the hoof, the shoe, that is normally thrown away. The horn is thrown away. But on the day of Qiyamah, that which we throw away, Allah is going to give you reward on that also. Who is Allah? How kind is not Allah, which we have got no value. And it has come that before the blood of that animal reaches the ground, it is accepted by Allah. What a beautiful explanation ulama have given, where they have compared it, and the ulama cite, this is what they say, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh, that one night when he ate the food of Anwarat, while he extracted from one thing how many masail. So this is the work of these great ulama, and that is such a great ibadat by Allah Ta'ala. So they have extracted from here that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to make wudu, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum shouldn't let the water reach the ground. That barakat water. And they should take it and rub their faces with it, everything. So much of barakat. So just like they should not allow that water to reach the ground, the qurbani animal's blood, Allah, before we see it reaching the ground, before that, Allah has accepted it already. What a great value Allah has attached to the qurbani. Therefore, it comes in the hadith, فَطِيبُوا بِهَا نَفْسَ. Open your heart and make your qurbani. Allah give us tawfiq that we don't just look for the cheapest animal. We don't look for an animal that is now not worth anything. This animal troubling us, a farmer, we'll put this one for qurbani. No, you try and give your best in the qurbani, and then we will get the best results also. So this slaughtering system of Islam is also the very best. There is no better way. Another very important thing also, many people, we Muslims, unfortunately, we think it is a very brutal way of taking. It is the best way. Let us realize that. And also taking the lives of these animals. Allah is the creator, He owns everything. Inna Allah ishtara. Allah has bought, everything belongs to Allah, and Allah makes the law. Open our hearts. Like for example, after eating, to lick one's fingers is sunnah. We might think that, okay, for me, this is, we call it dirt. Then what were you eating dirt up to now? You are eating food, now the little leftover of that food is also food. Why don't you want to lick it? Many people feel it's dirty. We don't want to drink from the glass of my own sister, of my own wife. I don't want to drink from her glass. Everyone, and not me, myself. I drink water from this glass. I want juice. Now that glass is not good enough. Now it must be another. Whereas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had one utensil for everything. And everything he did, and they shared it all in that way. And there is shifa in there. And there is barakat in there. And there is muhabbat in there. Today, husband and wife don't have muhabbat. We don't share our utensils. So all these problems we have, you share it, Allah Ta'ala puts barakah, Allah puts shifa, Allah puts muhabbat in there. What a way of life Allah has given us, a perfect way of life. So to lick the fingers, that is also sunnah. But to look down upon it, and that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us, and we look down upon it, and with that in mind that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us like that, a person is very dangerous position. He is very, very on the brinks of Islam. Allah save us all. So there are many things like that. So how Allah has explained to us to make the qurbani, etc., we must do it in that way. And in our heart that this is the right way. Slaughtering of animals is no brutal way. It is the right way. Taking the lives as Allah has prescribed. So much still have to be said about all Ibrahim alayhi salam sacrifice and all that. But all of us know, put it into our minds, think of it. So this qurbani, have never let it come in our heart. That what is this, so many animals being slaughtered? Give the people houses, they need houses more. Or give the people, spend the money in this cause, send it here, send it to there. No, qurbani has to be made. So much the masala is, if a qurbani was wajib on a person, and he did not make qurbani, after that, it's not just tawbah and istighfar, like namaz, if we must make your namaz. You still have to slaughter animal and give that food to the poor. So even if you didn't make your qurbani, you still have to. It's on you, it's your duty, you have to make it. Qurbani is a great. So don't let us feel be influenced and suffer from an inferiority complex by all the propaganda. Today, all the literature of the non-Muslims we read. We're not reading Islamic literature, we're reading non-Muslim. Their novels, their books, their things. So we get influenced by that. And then our mind, we call ourselves Muslims with a beard topi, but the mind, we have sold it out to the non-Muslims. They control our mind. That one book that we read, that is controlling our, without realizing it. One good ustad of ours here, on one occasion, Allama Khalid Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali came. He asked permission to study Maududi's books in order to take the faults out of where he went wrong and print and make it known to the people. Mona said, you don't touch his books. You don't know, you're going to hunt him, he's going to hunt you. And today that is another thing. Many of us want to hunt other people. We get hunted in the process. And our people get hunted and go that side. And we don't understand also what all this is happening. So this is, all these things make us think that qurbani, na'uzubillah is like waste of money. Today, of course, now we are happy about it, that the meat is canned and sent to the poor. Good, well and good. But the object is not to eat. Allah doesn't want the meat and the blood. Allah wants the taqwa. And previously, in Mina, huge amounts of animals should just be buried. No problem with that. Allah doesn't want that. Allah, now you're canning it, you're sending it, people are well and good, no problem with that. But that is not the object. Object of qurbani is to make qurbani. Otherwise, what qurbani have you made? So Allah could take that out from us, that this or that, rather give blankets to the poor, rather give some houses to the poor. What is the so much money going in, money going into qurbani? No, qurbani, and it is Allah's command, and we accept it wholeheartedly. Allah Ta'ala has commanded us. Also it comes that during the shaitan, the most he was disgraced, humiliated, and he felt completely rejected and dejected and felt terrible was on the day of Badr, when he saw Allah's mercy coming down. And what was that also? What qurbani the Sahaba gave for the battle of Badr? The details of it also we should try and go into. And that was once off. But every year on the day of Arafat, Shaitan throws sand on his head. That I made whole life effort on this person. He came here into Arafat and all Allah is just pouring. And the most people Allah sets free from the fire of Jahannam is on the day of Arafat every year. Badr was once. But Arafat is every year. Many other occasions they happen, but Arafat every year. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was so engaged in dua, so perplexed. You could see on his face a worried person. And for who? For the ummah. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah ta'ala, قَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ ذَنْبَكَ. All, there were no sins. Whatever little, what could be even termed, everything Allah, you were completely. When Allah had forgiven him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made ibadah that his legs were swollen. When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala told him, he said, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be fair? Allah, what favors? So anyway, in Arafat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua. Allah accepted all his duas besides huququl ibad, the rights of fellow people. Shaitan was still jumping and enjoying. People will have all the sins forgiven, and huququl ibad, this is again so much to discuss. Husband and wife, we don't fulfill one another's rights. Parents, we thinking we're fulfilling the rights of our children, but we're sending them into Jahannam. And in that we thinking we are fulfilling. So did our hearts have become. And in, how many hukuk of people there are. The visit, our visitors have got rights. Neighbors have got rights. So much rights of the neighbors, even if they are non-Muslims, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared or thought that next a command will come that in the inheritance, neighbors also got a share. But today with our neighbors, what contact we got with our neighbors? So all this year, rights of people. Then in Muzdalifah, they had just at the end, Nabi Ali Salat made this dua and suddenly burst into a smile and was happy. When Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala asked, oh Allah's Rasul, you were so much worried. And now suddenly he says, just now Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came, Allah has accepted this dua also. And the sign of it is when this dua of ours is accepted in Muzdalifah, who we are owing money, we will start paying them. Who we did wrong to, we will ask them maaf. We will start correcting our relationship with them. And many there are such hajis, when they come back, then they are changed for the good. And unfortunately, others change for the bad also. And then they go into more sin also. So all this Allah has given us on these great and honorable days. May Allah tabaraka ta'ala let us appreciate all these days. Don't spoil our qurbani with our videos and taking photos, etc. Shaitan is working full time. In India, when we were studying, we called one ustad to give us the virtues of Shabi Barat, on the 15th night of Shaban. One point he explained of all the great virtues of the night, etc. But he said, what shaitan made? Now, even Muslims, firecrackers on that day. What we were supposed to do and where shaitan took us? When hearts become dead, then where a person goes to, he doesn't have the slightest thought. Where am I going to? What am I doing? He doesn't have the slightest thought. So yeah, qurbani, what a great ibadah. And then now we're going to spoil it with our videos and our photos, etc. And sad to say, what we call good people, we are involved in that. And look at the other side, Ibrahim alayhi salam did it all in his sincerity. And Allah, when Allah accepted it in this dunya, Allah made it common in the whole world. Wherever you go in the world, you will find qurbani is taking place. The sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam of maybe about 6,000 years ago, how Allah has spread it. And we, with our little, we can say you put it on your group, you put it on this, you put it on YouTube or whatever. How can it spread? How Allah? And that qurbani, Allah Ta'ala made it, not a picture on your phone, on your iPad, on your laptop or something, but that Allah made it a living thing and people are slaughtering. So our qurbani, do it with the sincerity. Don't spoil it with all these photos and videos and intermingling of men and women. Save ourselves from that. And it's not difficult. Islam is a practical religion. If the whole family, extended family gets together, still we can observe parda, Islam is shown. Find out from the ulama of how we should do that. May Allah Ta'ala save us from these wrong also. May Allah Ta'ala accept